With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on another episode of the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. Today with us, we got my co-host, Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
Hello.
Welcome.
And very special guest from On Your Card, Rick Hansen. How's it going, Rick?
It's going all right. Here to talk things all disc golf and really just walk off not looking like a fool. That's my goal tonight.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll make plenty fools of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll take that bullet for you.
I appreciate it.
So why don't you just take a minute and introduce yourself. Tell us about who you are and tell everyone who you are.
Sure. So my name is Rick Hansen. I'm one of the co-founders of On Your Card. It can be found at onyourcard.com. We are a fantasy disc golf company, and we combine fantasy disc golf with stock market salary cap model. So what you can do in our game is prices that players are right now won't necessarily be what they'll be a week from now. So we just had our first tournament for the Las Vegas Challenge this past week. And at the start of the season, we balanced all of the rosters out so that $10,000 was the balance point where you could pick from price points and you could build yourself a pretty solid roster. We ran many playtest nights. I had lots of people in my kitchen. I roped the wife. I roped friends and family into playing with us who didn't understand disc golf.
Grab a
but
neighbor.
They understood. They understood two things. One, make money. To score more points. And that's as simple as our game is. So When you get that $10,000 in the beginning, you buy your players and you're hoping. So just this past week, we saw some names up on featured card lead cards that we're not used to seeing. We saw people in contention that were not. So those are value buys within our system. Then you have like Eagle, who should be a lot of money, but did you know he was going to come back and be as good as he was without that forehand at a big bomber course? So we had to build that into our pricing model. So right now, people could say Eagle's underpriced. Well, because of the first two tournaments he came out with, he's on fire. But you can't build that in there.
Right.
So we took data from the past 3 years' tournaments. And we averaged out pricing and came up with a scoring model. And one thing that we feel is unique about our scoring model is MPO and FPO are balanced. So Katrina Allen and Calvin Heimberg both scored the same number of points in our game this past week for winning. And then obviously the FPO scales down a little quicker because the field is a third the size in most tournaments.
Right.
Right.
So, and then all the ties also, they change it around. So I think in our top 10, of scoring this past week, it ended up being 5 MPO players and 5 FPO players. And that's exactly what we did. My brother, who is also our financial guy, our CFO, we spent many a sleepless nights with whiteboards on my living room floor and Excel spreadsheets open, going back and forth to try and come up with the balance. And I still remember the night we thought we had it. It was staring us in the face. And then we just looked at each other and it was like, is that it? And then we called our CTO, Andrew, and we got a data dump for 3 years. Let's put this scoring to the test and see if it works out. And we spent the next couple hours running it against every tournament that we had there. And sure enough, that's a scoring model that we have in place. So with fantasy disc golf being in its infancy for a lot of disc golfers, we went with a very simple scoring model. Finish better, you score more points. We're not trying to overcomplicate it with you lose points for a bogey, gain points for a birdie, an OB stroke costs you this. That's where fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball is. But I've been involved in writing fantasy software code. I started 25 years ago in New York for a company called Small World. And we had simpler scoring mechanics compared to what they have now. Why? Because online fantasy was new. You have to introduce slowly, and then you get more, then you can add more statistics for people to either worry about or fascinate over and just dive into.
Yeah. Wow. So you guys put a lot of thought into this.
This has been about a year and a half in the making. And
okay. All right.
Yeah. Wow. We just barely made the start of the season, and it was a stress. All of this gray hair here is just from the past month and a half. And the loss of hair. I was completely like full flowing locks before this.
So will it take into account, like, they always say that, like, the tournament right after Worlds, Paul Macbeth is going to come in like first or second, like, you know, it's just like, I don't know if it happens. I have never like looked up the statistics on it, but, that's where he seems to peak. Is your model take that into account?
So prices after the start of the season are purely up to our players. It is okay. Market based. So the number of buys, the number of sells, the number of holds, player searches, player link clicks. The more interest within our game for a player, the higher their price will go. But
gotcha.
We had Kristen Tatar and Ricky Wysocki both increase in value after the Las Vegas Challenge. They didn't play, but there was interest for it, right? Uh-huh. People bought them, looking, put them on their team.
Gotcha. Uh-huh, waiting for them to play, yeah.
Right. So get them now while the bargain is there. Make a little cash. If either of them depend, in-game cash, I have to be very clear there. I'm not really going to give you money for cash. picking Ricky Wysocki to do good in a disc golf tournament. I'm not giving you money. So the good part about that, though, is you can get these hidden gems. So two of the guys that I like to use from last year is look at Robert Burridge and Jake Hebenheimer. So they popped off for a couple tournaments. They were on lead card coverage. They were on feature card coverage. And Burridge pushed Simon to a playoff. That's their name recognition getting growing or getting much bigger. Take advantage of that fact. If you bought them early and you were playing with them, well, you've just made a lot more money. And you're, to me, the goal isn't Paul, Ricky, Paige, and Kristen. It's that consistency. Now, Kristen last year had the highs and all the consistency. Look at Ricky and Paul. They had the highs, but then they had some much lower weeks where a guy like Calvin just steady, right. Or even Gannon Burr last year still played a lot of Silver Series. We give you points for Silver Series. So those Road Warriors are your good picks as well. We want you to play with everybody that goes out on tour. We don't want you to just play with, and this is a criticism that happens all the time, right? By mid-year, you're looking at the same 12, 13 guys that have been on Jomez, Gatekeeper, just because they keep rising to the top. This allows you to play with that full 140 field. Everybody increases. And one of the big things for us is you can play with the pros. So we have about 15 pros that are in our league now. We're having many discussions with other pros to get them started. But for $10, you can play with the pro, and they're actually playing our game. And of that, a portion of that goes directly to them. So not only are you playing a game with them, you're also supporting them, right? So how much better, just think now, if you haven't been there, we're going to play a game of imagination here. Imagine you're in your second round of your tournament and you're leading, right? And you're going to get $1,000 cash, and you need that $1,000 cash to pay for gas, to pay for food, to pay for your hotel room, your entry fee. And you know, if you miss that putt, you're going to come up $250 short. Okay. Now what happens if you've already made that $1,000 by playing with your fans? How much easier is that putt going to be? We think the entire level of disc golf can actually rise throughout the board because we relieve a little bit of that stress. And we have it when we're out there playing with our friends, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, if I make this, I'm going to win. 9 times out of 10, we're missing that putt, and you got to go throw one again to see who won the day.
Right.
Why don't you list some of the pros you got? I know a few of them, but just sure. Get it out there to anyone listening. So,
yeah, right now we have Connor O'Reilly, Dan Brooks Wells. One caveat here, I want to say this isn't just for all of your touring pros. We want to get guys, and I have two, Dylan Horst and Nathan Johnson, who get to play a handful of events each year, but they have a good local following. They right. probably beat everybody when they go to league night, or they just show up at their course, send out a text saying, I'm throwing, who wants to come throw? They beat everybody. Well, one of the things that we offer it, with the pros, so you're playing Sarah Hokum. What chance do you have of beating Sarah Hokum out on a disc golf course?
Very small.
Yeah.
I have this one. Yeah. I have zero. So good for you. Remind me never to play against you, Eric, because if you're giving yourself a shot against Sarah, I got no shot.
I mean, if I can pick the course, I'll try to pick like a only backhand course.
There you go. That's fair. So
I'll still lose, but.
So now imagine you got to pull a disc out while you're playing that round with Sarah that said, I beat Sarah Hokum. Right. So every person who plays in a league with Sarah gets the right to purchase a disc that says I beat and the pro that you're playing with in there. And then in real small letters, it's going to say on your card. So for guys like Dylan or Joey Bruno or Nathan Johnson, who are still playing in league nights pretty regularly, Joey plays around here. I've known Joey a couple of years now. I'd love to pull out a disc that said I beat Joey Bruno. And then he's going to love to laugh at me when I throw it into first available tree. So it's that extra interaction that we want to help facilitate in a safe, fun, friendly manner.
Good laughs all around.
Yes. And so that's part of it is I go to play disc golf because one, it's fun. Two, it's mm-hmm. relaxing. It's the most meditative state I get when I'm out there at sunrise by myself. The entire world disappears. It's just me, the woods, and the occasional swear word when I hit a tree. other than that, it's perfect. And we want this to be fun. We want the interaction with our fans to be fun. So we've seen Ian Burchett, he plays our game. All of his posts are trash talking. He's out there completely saying, you can't beat me, you stand no chance. Sarah's a little more questioning. You think you can beat me? Sign up now. So you'll get different voices in this. Some people like to laugh when their friend misses a putt. Me personally, I like to say good bid. Even if it was only from 10 feet, it's still fine. It's the subtle dig. I'm not going to say nice shot.
That's good. I had a question about it, but now I lost it.
Yeah,
that's because I talk too much.
I lost. No, you're okay. Okay. I lost one. I lost it too.
Well, let's just quickly, since we were just talking about how it's your meditative state, how did you get into disc golf?
Sure. So it was actually during COVID. I'm a COVID baby. My wife wanted to take a walk through a local park here, Alaire State Park. And I was having a crazy day. The company I was going through, we were actually going through an acquisition, the company that I was working for, and I was the CTO of the company. And that day was the day they decided, we're doing a code review. So we're looking at all the work you've done for the past 9 years. Now, I don't know about you guys, but 9 years ago, I'm very different than who I am now, professionally and personally. So.
Big time.
Right.
The idea of somebody looking back at a decision I made nine years ago is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to just go walking through the park. So I pulled up their website and took a look at what they had. And it said disc golf course. I had never heard of it before. I'm like, what is that? So I looked it up and I'm like, well, that sounds like fun. And we're still getting to walk through nature. Maybe we can combine what she wants to do with a little something to take my mind off of everything. So we found starter kits at Dick's, and my wife got four. So for me, my wife, my son, and my daughter, about six holes in, my wife and my son are like, this sucks, we're out. However, me and my daughter were like, this is awesome. So her and I played every day for 4 or 5 days. We have a family Slack. I didn't know there was any way to keep track of this. So I was just texting our scores to each other back and forth on Slack before we found UDisc. And 2021, both my daughter and I actually got to qualify for NADGTs. We qualified at the same event at our home course, which was fantastic. Awesome. So we took a family trip down there. I played like crap. Woohoo! I think I beat 5 people out of the 70 that were there. Day one, it was about 40-50 mile an hour winds, and I play in the woods in New Jersey, so I had no idea what to do.
Everything's different.
I'm trying to throw Firebirds on forehand. I'm right-handed. They're going left. I'm like, up is down. I don't know what anything is anymore. My daughter, on the other hand, was 15. She finished 3rd in the under 18 division. She went out there. Awesome. Well, because I didn't qualify for the finals, I got the caddy for her and see her play on the final day. Yeah. So it was a blessing and a curse. But no, it's been a family sport for her and I, and I'm just blessed that my 16 year old daughter is okay to spend 2 hours in the woods alone with her father. It's just fantastic, and that's the feeling why I want to get into making disc golf my career. Have it be those types of people. I mean I've run into all types, and as a community as a whole, disc golfers are one of the most philanthropic set of people I've ever met. So within our game, not only do we, right now the pros are earning, we want to have content creators be able to earn as well. Because I'm sure getting together every week, every 2 weeks to do a podcast like you guys do, does take time away. And it can get a little stressful. So, okay, let's help where we can there. And we also want to do it for charitable organizations. Of course, we'd love to do Macbeth Foundation, Ricky's, Yula Berry's. But also, how many people around Super Bowl time get involved in those little box picks, right? They know nothing about football. They just want to be a part of something. Right. So what we would love is the guy at the office, the girl at the office who's into disc golf, hey, let's start a fantasy disc golf league for our charity. And then instead of the proceeds going to the pro, it'll actually go to the charity. So we're in the process of trying to reach out to as many people as we can, get them on board, get as many people playing this, get as many people understanding fantasy sports in general, and also help some of that more interaction with the pros. So imagine a pro next year goes to LBC. And the disc they're asked to sign is, it says, I beat, and then insert pronoun. Well, right then and there, that's a great interaction for the fan and the pro, because as the pro, you know the fan supported you last year. You know they cared enough. They wanted to play with you. That's an easy conversation starter. You go, you sign that disc. And as the fan, well, you cared enough to play in a league with them. Now they're there. They're signing your disc. It's just that extra level of interactivity. And so let's say I play in a league with Connor, and then I like Sarah's disc. I can't buy that disc because I played with Connor. I can only buy Connor's disc. So I'll have to join Sarah's league in order to be able to purchase Sarah's disc.
Love that. Did you play a lot of fantasy football before this, or how about that?
Yeah, I did. So one of the funny stories is everybody always said that you would love to go to work and get paid to do nothing. Well, I actually got that experience in 1999. My boss was one of the first people to work remotely. At the time they moved, but the company loved her, so they let her work remotely. Okay. I think that she was so fearful for her job with the whole out of sight, out of mind, all the work that I was supposed to be doing, she was doing. So I had 8 hours a day to do nothing. I was playing fantasy baseball at the time. And on the right-hand side of the fantasy baseball website I was using, it said jobs. I'm like, all right, let's see what we can do. I went up for an interview, and I live in Jersey. I probably should have gone to New York a lot more. I only went to Yankee Stadium. That was it. I didn't do anything else in New York. So my girlfriend at the time, now wife, used to be from New York. I was like, you got to come with me on this job interview. I don't know where I'm going. So she walked me literally to the building and then goes across the street to a furniture store while I'm in the interview. And I got the I got a job as a developer for that fantasy sports company by them simply saying, hey, can you do this? And I said, yeah, I could do it. Never written a line of code in my life. Never. Absolutely none. The first day at work, I come home and I'm man enough to admit this now. I sat on the floor of my bedroom and I bawled my eyes out for like an hour. I'm like, how am I going to do this? Because I just left the job I was at for 8 years. Like I was making inroads there. I took a pay cut, also had to pay for the subway, the train to get up there. I'm like, I just blew my life up. My wife, I love her. She picked me up. We went to Barnes & Noble. Now, see, that's how old we are. We went to the physical store.
Yeah.
I spent our last $200 on books on how to do this because there were no websites. It was books. Have you ever been to like AutoZone and you know those big stacks of books where they thumb through to find your part or whatever? It was like that on our desks back there. So 3 days after I got the job, I'm actually on the phone with Yahoo Sports, who wants to purchase our game, license our game to be on their website. And they're asking me questions like, can you do this? Can you do this? And in my head, I'm, yeah, we could do it. We could do it. But in my head, I'm like, I have no idea. I think it could be done. Okay. Thankfully, it was yeah, right. That's it. And that's kind of the attitude I've had with technology in general. I've never been afraid to push the button, see what it does, because if I break it, I'm confident I'll figure out how to fix it again. Now, you asked me to patch drywall in my house, and I have no idea. At that point, I'm like, Dad, come help me. But you need me to fix technology in your house? That I got you covered for. So with this company, we're four people. So it's myself, Andrew, Mark, and Zachary. Mark and Andrew, I actually used to work with. And so it's always nice to draw back. And Zachary's actually my brother. Zachary is an accountant. And we figured we could trust him with our money. He's my brother and an accountant. So we're okay. he actually just before we went on, I got a text from him confirming that he did send the payouts to the pros who we've gotten for this week. So that's one of the other things we want to do is we know some of these pros are on longer contracts where let's say they get paid every 2 weeks or every month or get a stipend throughout. We want to pay every week. So at the end of every every tournament. I always forget that sometimes there's 2 weeks in between tournaments. So when I, So after every tournament, the next day we send that money right out to them. We want to make their lives easier because we want to see better disc golf and we think we can help that.
Mm-hmm. So with On Your Card, man, let's keep losing this question.
Damn it, Eric.
So I'll be the technology guy here for a moment. If you hit Windows and S and then just type the word note, hit enter, it'll open up a notepad. Next time, just type your question. That way you keep it. That's what I do when I have something I want to say. So if you ever see me look down for a second, it's because I have something I want to say, but I don't want the train to go off the rails.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. So with On Your Card, you said you've been working on it for about a year and a half, right?
Yep.
How great was it to finally see it put forth into like the public's eye, and then finally now you have the first tournament under your belt? Everything worked as planned,
sure.
I quickly looked through everything. I just quickly went on earlier today and I was just kind of like looking to see how stuff changed, just to kind of get an idea for it, and everything looked like it worked from my eye, but I'm sure there's stuff that goes on in the background.
No, that means our late night last night when the tournament closed and the markets updated for the first time, we were on the on a Zoom call till I want to say about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then on the phone till about 2 a.m. I've been talking to a couple pros for the better part of 6 months. And it's so much easier when you have a product to sell them rather than conceptually. And I have a product for them to go look at. And the first couple who said yes, I give them all the props in the world. So you're looking at Raven Newsom, Ezra Robinson, and Connor O'Reilly. Those guys, those guys took my word on it, signed up on faith. And then funny part is, Ezra Robinson, we didn't announce him yet. He put the link in his Instagram bio. And about 4 hours later, we got a sale. And it was in Ezra's league. And I'm like, how did that happen? Like, we didn't tell anybody. So I went to go message him back on Instagram, and I saw in his bio, there it was. I'm like, okay, like maybe we really are onto something.
Yeah.
And you know, once, like, nobody wants to be first. Nobody wants to be the guinea pig. Everybody wants a little bit of proof. Everybody wants to know that the guy they're talking to really is going to do what he says they're going to do. And when you start to get a couple others, and the first week we launched, we made two pro announcements every day. And I think I've had 20, 25 conversations, and I've only gotten two hard no's. And before you ask, I'm not going to tell you. Everybody else has been, yes, sign me up right now, or let me think about it, get back to me in a couple days. And we've converted most of those let me think about it, because
right.
I'm not requiring.
Doesn't sound like there's any downsides to what you're offering. So,
right. And that's where we're at. We're not asking for our logo to be on your back in every tournament. I'm not asking it for it to be on a hat. I'm not asking anything other than play the game. And that can take as little as 30 seconds. If you guys have been in our platform, we wanted to consider the pros time. We understand that after the tournament, they get dinner, they go to sleep, they wake up the next day, and a lot of them have to hit the road. So this has to be something that can be done really quickly. You can draft a full team in our application in under 2 minutes. And then after that, you're only going to have to trade in or out players who aren't starting or the course is suited better for. And you can sell and then buy a new player in less than 20 seconds in our team, in our game. Mm-hmm. You could spend 5 hours diving in if you want to, but go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're okay. Do you think it sounds fairly, I mean, not like exactly, but similar to, like, I don't know, like more of like a daily fantasy kind of feel? Are people like coming from that? The ecosystem's probably going to be something that they're used to. Yeah.
I would imagine so. So the one thing that I miss about fantasy sports in general compared to that daily fantasy is the attachment. Mm-hmm. Like it's that, okay, I got this player in the beginning of the year, and we're now 6, 8, 10 weeks in, and they've been playing great. Well, now I'm rooting for them. I've made myself a fan of that player. And for me, if that player is playing on your card, okay, now I'm going to sign up to play with that person. And that's all because I drafted him or her, and they performed. And it really is that attachment. So in the daily, you're picking for that tournament. See you later. Goodbye.
Right.
In ours, you pick. If you don't want to sell, you don't have to. If you want to sell one player, you sell one. But the goal is to get you to experiment or explore the entire field, not just get locked in on the Pauls, the Rickies, the Calvins, the Pages. Explore everybody. Like Saya Nande, she hit that ace. I had no idea who she was until I was going through and verifying prices in our game. And I looked up, oh, she finished last year really strong. But why didn't I hear about it?
That's cool.
Quiet. One of those quiet people. And then it doesn't matter how much money your players are worth, like as far as scoring wise, all that matters is how many points you score at the end.
Correct.
But, like, the more money you have, then you can maybe pick up like a Paul or a Ricky to keep on your card, and then mess with like the other three or whatever.
Right. So GT Hancock, actually, out of all our pros, we put something out today. He scored the most. He scored 1,231 points this week. Where we think is an average week is going to be anywhere between 950 and 1,025 points. That's going to be a solid week. Anything above and beyond that, you hit a couple sleepers. Anything below that, more than likely, your big pros missed. So he had Ezra Aderholt, Andrew Marweed, Drew Gibson, and Matty O. So no bottom finishers, a couple real top finishers, and then the other two made the cut and finished just off that upper tier. But it's The funny part is the entire lead card for round two, you could have afforded in our game because it wasn't all just massive name players. Yeah. And then, right. And then you have to worry Scott about Withers. So Eagle, is Eagle going to be the Eagle of 2 years ago? We don't know.
Yeah.
So we had to adjust his price and take that into account. So we brought him down a little bit. So a lot of people jumped on Eagle's bandwagon. Oh, Eagle, he's affordable. And what'd he do? He came out and played fantastic outside of coming down the stretch yesterday.
Yeah.
And that,
I think what, sorry, Eric. You go. I was just going to talk about Eagle. So
all right, I was just going to say that it's, fuck, dude, I totally lost it. Damn it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right, well, anyway,
that brain slip. Nope. It's gone.
I think Eagle on his final round will tend to throw stuff away just trying to get that win. Like he'll you know, he knows he can push himself that extra limit if he needs to. And I think that'll end up, well, not all the time, well, but can be his downfall often.
Right, but that, does he do that because he knows he's good enough to be there week after week? So when he's there, it's go. It's not hold off.
Yeah.
It's just go, right? And then, so... I was talking one of the guys that is in our game, Matt Bell. So I'm actually playing with Matt Bell. I've met Matt a couple times. He's a great guy. Funny Matt Bell story. I was down in Delaware Disc Golf last year. I played in the event. My brother challenged me to play in an A tier and three. Have you guys heard of Iron Hill? Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had one of our friends is right close to that, happy with par. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that course is no joke. And walking that 3 days is no joke. Thank God the dare was from my brother, who said, "I dare you to play the A tier and I'll caddy for you." All right, perfect. My father actually has a camping trailer. There is a campground about 20 minutes from Iron Hill. We parked that and we stayed there, and it was just me and my brother for 4 days while I competed in. I was doing okay. First two rounds, I was 12 over and then 13 over. From the longs at Iron Hill, I love that.
Right.
So 25 over going into third round. I finished the third round 25 over itself. So after that, we went and watched the pros for a little bit. And me and my brother think we're sneaky. We go up to the next tee so we can see the green but also have good shot. And all of a sudden I get a nice little tap on my shoulder and I just hear beep, beep. I'm like, what is that? And sure enough, it's Matt Bell. He's like, excuse me. Like just so polite, so nice. But I'm in Matt Bell's league and I drafted Matt Bell and he didn't. So I'm beating Matt Bell with Matt Bell right now.
Love that.
That's funny.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I finally came up with my question. So you probably have like an algorithm base to just get all of this raw data. Are you then adjusting, like, you know, that worry that Eagle is going to potentially not, you know, perform? Would that be you directly at the moment?
So that is a combination between me and my brother, Zachary. But we adjusted prices coming into the season. After that, the market dictates where their prices go. We don't touch them except at the beginning of the season. So we're keeping track of the number of buys a player has, the sells that they have, the holds that they have, right? Because a hold is the same validation as a buy, but you can't buy a player that's already on your roster. So we're keeping track of holds. We're tracking player searches, clicks within our system. So general interest, it builds because the stock market, for every buy, there's an equal sell. We don't have that. Take week one, nobody was selling anybody. Everybody was just buying to fill up their roster.
Right.
We did have a couple sells on Kristen and Ricky as well, because once they realize they're not going to be there, okay, let me get them off the squad. But it's the market that dictates it. We're not going to manipulate prices because of injuries. We count on the players to do that because, okay, I'm not going to jinx anybody. So player A gets hurt. The market then has a mass off-sell of the player. Their price is going to plummet. And then if they come back, that yes, they will be a bargain again.
That's awesome. That's much easier for you guys than having to actually like
do things on your own.
You also, did all the work ahead of time.
Your opinion out of it too.
Right. Yeah. And we wanted to do that. That's why we took such a big sample size, because look, opinion bias is real. Everybody has their favorite players. Everybody has their player who they think, oh, if they just would have made one more putt or didn't get that tree kick, they were winning that tournament. No, we take the bias out. Data doesn't lie. It can be manipulated, but it never lies. So our goal was to take that data and have it tell the story it wanted to tell us. And you can mask player names if you just look at performance. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. This player would be rated higher than this player, would be worth more money in the game than this player. And then you release all the names and you make adjustments from there after that baseline is established.
Then maybe you already answered this and I missed it, but the points you get, that's only based on how they finish. It has nothing to do anything in between. It only matters what place they finish at the end.
Correct. And one of the reasons we chose to do that is again, fantasy sports, there can be so much minutia in it, right? Like take the NFL, you get a point for just the quarterback handing the ball to the running back. The running back gets a point for a carry. He lost 4 yards. Okay, so we lost 4 points or a quarter of a point, thus losing 1 point for losing 4 yards on the rush. Because fantasy disc golf is such a new experience, we want this to be easy to understand and not bog it down. But we feel where we turn that simplicity into a little bit more complexity is the balance of that FPO-MPO field. Mm-hmm. So you're not just looking at, I mean, this year you could just watch Jomez and you're getting both cards. But in years past, you weren't. You had to go seek out the FPO. And I like watching FPO. They still throw further than me, but I feel like I can pick up more lines watching their game than the MPO. I'll never be able to throw 600 feet, but I might be able to get 350 here and there. And that's a lot of the FPO players. 350 is where you're looking at. Some of the bigger ones, 450, but 350 is about average. So I feel like I pick up more to relate to my game watching the FPO field.
Yeah. Learn how to play smart from watching them instead of just trying to throw over everything.
I'm 3 years away. So I'm in the MA40 now. I'm 3 years away from officially entering 50. And I'm going to start playing old man golf and I'm going to beat them all.
There you go. That's
awesome. You should do it. Do it.
Yeah, but then what comes in my head the second I'm behind one tree, I'm like, well, if I throw it through this gap and it turns, well, then I could make this 400-foot forehand from a knee under a bush through a raspberry.
Could happen.
Right? Because I did it one time in one practice round from nowhere near that complicated a lie. I got it.
Tell us just like where were you when the wheels started turning on starting a fantasy disc golf? Like tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So the second I took the trip, so me and my father last August. Yeah, this past August. We went on a big family vacation. So we go with my parents. I'm one of 5 boys. We all go out. Family all comes out. And we've been going to Myrtle Beach, Tennessee. This year, we went to Zion out in Utah. And my father and one of my brothers drove that camper out there. We fly back. And I had, at this point, I had quit my job for the company that I previously worked for. My wife says it saved me from a heart attack. But... we got to travel back across. Sorry, I skipped a little thing there. So he sent out a message. Anybody want to join me for the rest of the drive after a day of driving my brother back down? And I just looked at my wife. I'm like, I could fly to Kansas City and make the 5-6 day trip back with him. He's like, I'll pick you up. So next day I'm on a flight out to Kansas City. Very confusing airport and weird. If you've never been there, the second you deboard the plane, you're out of the airport. Like it's 15 steps and you're in the air. It's not, I'm from the land of Newark, LaGuardia, JFK, these massive airports. That one I was like, is that really it? Like, can I go to the bathroom even?
We don't have to take a tram to
yeah. Like, what? Yeah. So we ended up playing Peter Pan. We hit Dynamic Discs. We played Harmony Bends, Eagles Crossing, Idlewild, Boundary Park before coming back home. And it was a trip of a lifetime. My father and I, we just told stories for 8 hours a day. And that was the time I decided this little idea that we've been working on the side, we have to figure out a way to make this be part of my life, to be able to turn to my wife and say, hey, we're going to fly out to Texas because I want to watch this tournament. And knowing that I can do that because I can work this job from anywhere. And
right.
that's a shared experience I have with Andrew, Mark, and Zach, the other three founders of this company. We want to take what we do, apply it to something that we feel is beneficial, but also fun, right? You want it to be fun and be able to do it from anywhere. My wife says, I want to go to Costa Rica. Okay, let's go. Well, let's check the bank account first and then let's go. I can do my job from there as long as you don't mind me hopping on doing stuff like this, hopping on Zoom calls at 9-10 o'clock at night. And other than that, we're good to go. And it's really weird right now because I'm trying to get as many pros to play our game as possible. My morning consists of let's contact 6 or 7. And then I wait. And then you get red and they go back. Yeah, I'm available. Let's talk. Okay. When? How about 7 o'clock tonight? Sure. So I have 2 hours, 3 hours in the middle of the day where I have nothing to do. I go play disc golf. And then I come back, talk till 10, 11, especially when they're on the West Coast, 11 midnight. I'm on the phone. The wife's in bed. The kids are all in bed. And then I sit down. I'm like, wow, that was a busy day. And then I'm like, yeah, but you still played around. It's okay. So usually, where I used to work, it was about a 50-minute commute. 25 minutes in between, there was a disc golf course. I found out a sunrise round is a great way to start a business day. So I'd go play a round, tee off at 6 o'clock in the morning, finish my round, finish my drive to the office. And I was much less of a
happy.
Yeah, that we'll put it that way. I was happy. You were happy. That's a better way.
Yeah.
Happier, at least.
Right. Yes. Still had to go to work, but.
Yeah, still, but much like here in my home office, I have a link here with me. I don't putt with it. I'm not a fan. Sorry, Discmania. But it is my fidget spinner. So when I'm sitting here and I need to think, I just go ahead and spin the disc there. I had one of them in my office. It was a Stalker that I loved the rim of, but couldn't throw it for crap. So I'm like, all right, I love the feel of it. Let me at least get some good vibes from this disc. And it became my office spinner.
Gotcha.
I like that. I would cause destruction so quickly.
Well, I did try and lay down a roller in the office and was shocked how quick it runs on corporate carpets. It just goes. Yeah. Thankfully, it hit a metal cubicle and not the drywall wall because it would have went right through.
Yeah. So did you guys set any real goals for the year or just want to just kind of get the message out about it as far as you can right now for the first year?
Yeah, we're flying by the seat of our pants here. I'm not going into this to say, make me a millionaire, make me a billionaire. I'm going into this to, let's impact as many lives as we can, whether that be through tour support, through charity, through content creators, and my own, and the rest of our team. Let's all do this together, and let's have a little fun along the way. And with the growth that we've had in the first 2 weeks, and the pros that are playing our game, the posts that we're seeing, the chats back and forth we're seeing, that first night before the tournament, when we saw people signing in and selling their players and adjusting their rosters, like I was jumping up and down with excitement. And that was messages to the other founders with us of, look, we did this. This is something we put together. This came from our minds and it's out there now.
It's a scary thing to do.
Very much so. I've been building websites, like I said, for about 25 years, and the launch and then the first subsequent night process is terrifying. Absolutely. Just always terrifying. So I used to work for a financial company, and one day I came home and I sat down and I realized, wow, the code that I wrote helped somebody with $1 million deal. And then the enormity of my numbers have to be right. My calculations have to be perfect. Like, there's real dollars on the line here. So yeah, it's fun. And that's where we're at here. So I'm a fantasy guy. I'm a numbers guy. Something like this just kind of made sense.
I love the idea of not using pros, but like using that influence is a fantastic idea. Great job on that.
Thank you. And one of the things that we also love is there's no cap. Look, if we get a pro who brings in 10,000 people, and I say this when I'm on the phone, is I'll fly to your next doorstop and I'll hand you that 30,000 that you earned by bringing in that. I always throw in the caveat, I won't give it to you until after I get a form lesson, but so the better they play, hopefully the better I get at disc golf too.
Yeah, just on the bottom of the check, just like free lessons.
Right. In the memo, it is golf lessons.
Yeah.
And then my accountant will go, why are you paying $30,000 for a golf lesson?
You don't understand.
You don't get it.
Then I'll give him a frisbee and watch him throw it 10 feet. And then I'll be able to throw it 350 and I'll be like, that's why.
Yep.
Love it.
I know you kind of mentioned it at the beginning, but where can people sign up to play, or where can people find all this again?
Sure. If they go to onyourcard.com, one thing that we wanted to make sure of is, again, this makes it easier for pros. How many websites' passwords have you forgotten? And then how many do you always have to hit forgot password every time you log in? Because you don't remember what you changed it to. We did away with that. Yep. So we're using an email link. You just sign in with your email address. We'll email you the login link. Click it, you're logged back in. No usernames, no passwords to remember. Once you're in our system, if you hit leagues down the bottom, there'll be another tab for pro leagues. You can sit there and you can play with the pros. We also offer private leagues. So if you want to play with your local club, for $25, we'll manage the entire league for you. It gets you $25. You can play in your own economy there. So one of the things that we've done is, like, your fantasy football, baseball, basketball, once you miss the start of the season, you can't play, right? Because they start at the beginning of the year. We're creating new leagues every single week. And they start at that week's tournament and they run through the end of the year. So $10, if you started last week, it gets you 24 weeks of playing fantasy for $10. Well, now Waco's coming up. The markets have adjusted. Teams have scored points. We don't want you to start behind the eight ball. So we create a new league that the first tournament for that league is Waco. And the pros team is moved over. And instead of starting with the $10,000 that we've started, so Connor O'Reilly again. He's first. He's alphabetical. He's also a really good guy. His value is actually $10,883. So week one, he made $883. Uh-huh. For his Waco league, when you go start, you're going to start with $10,883. You'll start at the exact same level that he is, and that's going to happen all year long. So again, use Robert Burge or Jake Hebenheimer again from last year, or even to a lesser extent, Isaac Robinson's name was known a little bit more, but he sustained up high. Let's say you find out about this player that you don't know. You could join them 18 weeks into the season, support them, and still play fantasy against them for the rest of the year. We've tried to balance it so it's not just a, okay, start of the season, here you go. There's all the money that you get. There's all the money that we get. No, we've tried to make it so this is an ongoing, repeatable step for the pros, for the fans to continue to engage in disc golf.
Wonderful pitch.
Awesome.
Well, I thank you. I am. It's funny because I am a technology guy. So we used to go to technology conferences. And the first year I warmed my team, I was like, because I had a pretty good, pretty outgoing technology team, because again, that's just typically, I'm an outgoing guy. That's who you're attracted to. And I know, like we talked about before, my microphone's about probably 6 feet away from me right now. Yeah. And I don't think you're having any problems hearing me. I'm an out there guy. And so a real hard introvert is not the employee for me, and I'm not the boss for them. So I warned everybody, you're going to be the most outgoing people at this conference. And they're like, no, we're not. By 2 days in, they were like, oh, no, we really are. I forgot the point of that story.
No,
it's my turn now. What was the question that was asked before it?
I don't know if it was a question. I thought I was just complimenting how great your
pitch was. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, how great your pitch was.
So in this company, I'm not technology oriented. That's Andrew and Mark. I'm the guy who's coming on the podcast. I'm the guy who's here to talk, and it's nerve-wracking being this guy. At my last company, it was our CEO. He was that guy. He was all over the place, and I have a newfound respect for it after only doing it for 2 weeks. The cold call of are they going to get on the phone with me? Two, are they going to like the idea? Three, are they just going to blow me off? And so far, I haven't had any negative interactions with any pros, any media, anything. Everybody's been absolutely fantastic, which just sort of kind of reinforces that maybe we're the right team, the right product at the right time for disc golf, because just in the 3 years I've been doing it, it's exploded. And it's still a niche sport. There's still so much room for this sport to grow. And I'm sure, just like you, I'm sure you guys are very similar to me. Any new person you meet, they're like, so what do you do? Or what do you do for fun? The disc, it comes out. That's what you're talking about. We should go sometime. Right. So yeah. Mark and Andrew, they never played. And I had discs in my trunk. One lunch, I get Andrew out, and we had a field behind our office. And I had been talking about this for about a year, year and a half. And I'm like, you should throw one. He threw it. And I'm like, all right, now try it this way. And he got one out there. Sure enough, I get a text that weekend. He had went out, bought a starter kit, and he also bought a nuke. I'm like, all right, put the nuke away. Let's stick with the starter kit right now. And then about, I want to say 6 to 8 months later, he did the same thing with his brother-in-law. And he sent me the picture of his brother-in-law 3 days later after buying a couple discs. It's such an amazing game. And I don't think I'm ever at more peace than when you let it go. Because, right, is there ever a quieter time in your life than when you're watching the disc fly through the woods? No, everybody shuts up. Everybody just watches it until the one guy says nice and it hits the tree. But everybody does just watch it.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the best sport out there. The combination of like essentially raw nature and a sport is something that you don't find.
So. Yeah, and so that morning course where I would play those sunrise rounds, the only other people in the park, there was this group of four elderly ladies who would do their laps around the park. They'd say hi to me every morning. There was one point where they were right behind the tee on the eighth hole and they stopped and just watched me. And in my head, I'm like, oh, don't mess it up. These are four ladies I don't know. Sure enough, I got it. And you just heard, ooh, and then I got claps. I was like, that's a great way to start a day off. It's just wonderful. Yeah. There was another guy who jogged with his son. They would always say hi. So they didn't play, but they were still part of my disc golf community.
That's it. It's building a community.
Yep.
Love that.
So what was like the first disc you fell in love with? Like what was like, you know, you started with the starter pack, but then like what was like one that you found it and it just like changed the way you play or became go-to?
Sure. It was actually a 2018 Sexton Firebird.
Oh.
So I used to play third base in baseball. Uh-huh. So the forehand came naturally to me. It just felt right. But because my form was awful, you need something that overstable to make it do any of what you're expecting it to do, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I lost it. And then I looked into the Firebird market and I was like, I don't think I can financially afford to throw Firebirds. So I switched over to a stock Pioneer. And I love that thing now. It is a go-to for me. Two of my other favorites, the Deflector, which is beefy, and the Toro, which out of the box is real beefy, but it beats in and flies nice and straight. No coincidence, the Deflector and the Toro are also my only two aces. But that's not why I love them at all.
Well, good news, because if you ever want to go back to the Firebirds, the 2021 Firebirds are super cheap.
Oh, yeah? No, they flood the market too much?
Yeah, they flooded the market with the 20. You can still buy 22s in stock, too, and so 22s are probably going to end up being the same, but
yeah,
21s are insanely cheap.
All right, well, when I run through my backup supply of Pioneers,
yeah,
The basement, the garage, the office, where do you guys keep your, I'm going to throw this, above. But I don't end up throwing it discs. Where do you keep yours?
Everywhere. There's some in my closet. There's some on the wall. There's some in the garage. There's some in my trunk.
I have a bin next to me.
That's it? You're just a single bin guy?
Pretty much. Yeah.
You don't have any in your back seat. No extras in your trunk. Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the lease on my car was coming up, and I had to get a new one and knew I was going to. So I cleaned out my trunk, and then I brought this one home, and I'm like, this car is going to be different. I put everything in there nice and organized, and then about 4 weeks later, when I go to take out my shoes, I'm like, how are there 9 discs in the trunk? Like, how did they get there? So, yeah, it's an obsession, and it's one I'm glad to have, though. There are much worse things to be addicted to.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And in spirit of the show, what's your biggest oh no moment on the course?
My biggest oh no moment.
It could have been a swear word too, but
oh, I do swear like a sailor, and I play a lot with my daughter, so having people look at me, I actually hit my own car. There is a practice field, and the front half of it is the parking for the course, and you can park, and I had been working on forehanding a saint. So a saint is 9-7, -1-2.
Yep.
And I'm trying to forehand that because I know when I get that, my form is getting better.
Yeah.
So I had thrown it 3 or 4 times, and I got it to flip up the flat, fly straight, and then dump. I'm like, all right, I got this. On the 4th or 5th time, I'm throwing back towards my car, but I'm aimed well behind my car. Nope, turned it over right into the side of my car. And took off the clear coat of paint. No dent, thank you, but it nailed my car. I then had to explain to everybody who looked at it, oh, what happened? Yeah, I did that. I threw a disc into it. So that would probably go down as my biggest one.
Is that the car that you just turned in for the lease?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't have to explain that scratch anymore.
I don't know what would have been. That would have been much funnier, though. It's the brand new car you just got.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't think I would have come home that night, even though my wife is the most understanding person in the world, and she would look at me and go, well, I'm glad it's your car and not mine.
Big Germ said like, that.
Look how big the dent is. I'm getting so good. Look how powerful.
Yeah, look how hard I threw it, though.
Big Germ said that when you buy a car, the first thing a disc golfer is supposed to do is throw a disc at it.
Oh, yeah. Big Germ's got more money than I do then.
I think he took like one of the rubber putters and just like tossed it at the top.
There you go. Yeah, I do have a Binks in my basement.
Yeah, through one of those. So
yeah.
Was there anything we missed? I'm kind of out of questions. Did we stump you on anything?
No, I think we got everything across, and I also think we didn't just focus on just the game too. I think it was it was good general just disc golf. So I think and I appreciate it. I love the casual nature behind it, and I do apologize. I can get going into stories, and
that's the whole
I love
point,
to
man.
Share experiences.
Yeah, we love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, oh, perfect. Great.
It's that's nice great. To sit back and let people talk.
It makes well, us. That, it makes it easier for us.
So, all right. So the key to then getting people to talk is I have to start a podcast and just ask the questions and then go, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Perfect. Now I know. Thank you. Today I learned.
I have one random question if you want.
Yeah, go.
Before we ended up. I found some left turn questions. What do you think, if you have like a spicy opinion that most people would disagree with, what would you have? Do you have one like that?
About disc golf or in general?
Just random. Up to you.
You can do two if you want.
Well, the real one as the face of a new company, I'm not going to give you. If you want, the second you hit stop record, I'll tell you that one. I think rollers should be illegal.
Ooh.
Oh.
I mean, really, it's only because I can't throw them. I try. I'll throw the forehand. My brother Zach in the company, we have this one hole, and to put it this way, the dedication on the sign, one of our local top tier guys and in the club, his name is Sean Howard. We just got new tee signs. The only thing to carry over from the old tee signs to the new ones was this hole is sponsored by Sean Howard's Inevitable Bogey. So it is the tightest turn, turns right, turns left, goes straight, and there are just trees everywhere. So my brother can lay down a forehand roller that goes perfect. I try them. As soon as they hit the ground, it's right turn and they're almost hitting the road that's 150 feet away. I try a backhand roller. I end up it just turns into a nice panning fade and it's gone. So rollers should be banned.
I like it. I think Paige Pierce agrees with you. I'm pretty sure. I think she hates rollers or just refuses to learn them. I don't know.
Well, right. Didn't Kyle Klein win the distance competition with a roller?
Yep. 682 feet or something.
I mean, granted, it's impressive, but
it's crazy to watch people do that.
Yeah,
so yeah. talented.
Yeah. Oh, but all right. So here you go. Non-disc golf hot take. If you're a field goal kicker, you should never miss a kick. It's your only job. No. You have one job.
Even if they give you like the 53, 54 ones, 54 yard ones.
When everybody else is out there beating each other up, if you're not out there making 55, 60, 65 yard field goals, and don't get me started, nobody should ever miss an extra point, even though it's 35 yards now. Come on, like make it. That's your job.
That's your
why
only
it's not
job.
My job. I would
right. you had one job.
Oh, shit.
That's funny. Well, Rick, we appreciate you taking your time out of your day to come chat with us about On Your Card. We're super excited to see where it goes. And I'm probably going to, I don't know what pro I'm going to battle against, but I'm probably going to sign up to battle a pro.
Let's pick the same pro, Eric, because like I want to beat you too.
Oh, yes. Okay. There we go.
Perfect. So to tie into that, one thing that we're working on now is for those content creators and those charities to be able to play with hosts and not pros. So I'll make sure I reach back out to you guys, and you guys can also host your own league, and then the benefit comes back to you guys.
That'd be awesome.
Sign
perfect. What pros are you playing, Rick? That way we can play against you too.
So I am in. I got to go to my leagues right now. I am playing with Joseph Bruno, who is a local guy who plays a couple Elite Series. Matt Bell and Trevin Crow right now.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to play with multiple throughout the year. Those were who I decided to start the year with.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I think I think either tonight or tomorrow I'll be signed up. So I'm pretty excited. Perfect. I've been kind of checking it out on my phone every once in a while, and it looks lots of fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out. I haven't checked it out yet. I'm gonna have to check it out. It sounds awesome.
Please send me actual feedback, like actual responses, what you like, what you don't. And if it's something that you don't like, hopefully it's on our enhancement list for the year. But if not, we'll make sure when we do release that enhancement, we'll give you a thank you byline in there for you.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Rick. Have a good one.
Pleasure. Have a good night.